5, 4, 3, 2, 1, begin transmission.
Wait, stop, stop, stop everything. We gotta talk. We already know what time it is. It's 1930 UTC. But do you know what episode this is? This is episode 1930. That's right. Episode 1930 at 1930 UTC. Welcome to the Dubious Goals Committee with fanfare. No, wait a minute. Copeland for the common man? No, we don't need fanfare for the common man. We need some fanfare for some kind of dubious man. How about something that has some copyright infringement issues? Yeah. Welcome to the Dubious Goals Committee, episode 1930. Oh, yeah, no. Basically, what is happening? You're listening to the Dubious Goals Committee. Hello, my name is Tobe. Yes, this show started weird because this is a weird show. Like I already mentioned, can you believe it? Episode number 1930. Yeah, as of right now, we have done 1,930 episodes of the Dubious Goals Committee. And how long have we been doing that? For 1,930 days. Yes, I have won. I win a non-radio. Woohoo! Now the big trick here, being as this is episode 1,930, is to keep, you know, Kirk Cameron out of here. I don't need to have a greasy show. I don't want a greasy mess all over the place. Boy, is he going to get it now.
Boy, are you going to get it now.
What?
Look at that greasy mess you made. Our mom just drove up.
Give me something fast.
Here, slap. 409 works fast.
Yeah?
Before you start to wipe.
409.
Oh, then 1981 mom walks in. Not 1930 mom. 1981 mom. Does her kitchen shine?
Hey, that shines.
Yeah, so what?
What have you two been up to?
We've been up to 1,930 episodes of the Dubious Goals Committee. You're welcome. Yeah. Okay, so now what do we do? Great, we got this far. We're 4 minutes into it. We haven't even had any tea. Somebody pour some tea. Oh, yeah. I want it. I want it. I want it. What is it? It's Da Hong Pao. Mm. Oh, that's so good. I love Da Hong Pao, dreaming of Da Hong Pao. You love Da Hong Pao, Da Hong Pao. That's a new hit song by Slade that I just wrote. Now, I know what you're thinking. You're thinking, oh, Tobe, episode 1930. You must really have something special planned for us today. Well, you know, other than that new introduction, that one-time-only 1930 episode introduction. No. I got nothing. maybe we should plan these things out better. But what would I do anyway? This doesn't make any sense. Why would we... Every episode of the Dubious Goals Committee is special. And this one is no different. I'm waiting for football games to come on. I'm waiting for my boat race to come on. I've got TV stuff I gotta watch. Races and football, and it's getting me excited. One thing you should know is that about 20 minutes ago, I did pick up my cigar box guitar and I tried to play it. with all of, you know, 1.5 millimeter of fingernail. Is that 1.5 millimeter? No, it's more like 1.25 millimeter of... Yeah, and so that didn't work. So, you know, there's still no guitar news. But something weird did happen to me today. I've already been out and about because I've had... Because of all this weird stuff going on, like 1930 and, you know, football and my boats and all this stuff, I had to get up early again. And I had to run out and do some errands. And as I was driving down my street, I was not 2 blocks away from my house. I could see this kid. I was coming down this hill. And on the left, sort of by the corner, there's this kid walking. You know, small kid, 3 feet tall. 1 meter tall or less. And he had a helmet on. And I thought, okay, what's this kid doing that he's got a helmet on? I thought maybe he's skateboarding. But no, he's just walking. I can tell by his movement. I'm like, why is this kid wearing a helmet? And I thought, oh, well, maybe he's pulling a sled and he's going to go do some extremely dangerous sledding at that hill right over there where, you know, kids die all the time sledding and they had to put up signs and blah, blah, blah. No, the kid's not pulling a sled. I'm driving by and I'm looking at the kid and he's just wearing a helmet for no reason. And I thought, okay, your parents are going to make you wear a helmet because it might be icy outside. And then as I was driving by and sort of looking at him in the rearview mirror, I saw him do a weird motion with his feet, which led me to believe that he had those tennis shoes, roller skates, the Heelys, you know, the shoes with the wheels in the heels, and the kids go skating around. And why don't I own any of those? I don't understand this. Do they make them in my size? What size shoe do I wear? Like 11 and a half? Do they make them in 11 and a half? I don't know. Anyway, my faith in humanity was vaguely restored. I'm guessing the kid got a pair of Heelys for Christmas, and he was out practicing with them out on the sidewalk, and parents said, wear a helmet. So, okay, I can get behind that. I did question that kid's behavior there for a few seconds, though. And I also have to question my own behavior, especially last night. What did I do last night? Why did I accomplish nothing last night? Oh, last night, I don't know, I kind of didn't feel very good. Something weird happened. My gut started being a little bit weird, and I was like, oh, I don't feel very good. So I was just sitting around, and I didn't build anything. I feel terrible. I got to keep building stuff. But as I was sitting around, how do I explain this? I started having a craving for a food. It's like I could taste it in my mouth. And this actually started like 2 days ago. But last night, this became more pronounced. This was about 9 o'clock at night. And I started watching some motorcycle races. But regardless, I was sitting there and I'm going, nom, 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 I'm hungry. What am I hungry for? I want that. What is it that I'm hungry for? What is that flavor that I'm seeking? And that started to bother me last night. And it wasn't because I was hungry necessarily. I wasn't particularly hungry. But I can taste something that I've eaten before, but I don't know what it is, but I want to eat it now. Does that make any sense? I'm starving, by the way. Did I mention that? I'm hungry. What am I going to eat today? Well, obviously not whatever it is I want, because I can't even figure out what it is that I want to eat. It's got herbs in it. Nom, 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 nom. It's like there's rosemary and oregano, maybe some thyme or basil. I don't know what this is going, what's happening in my head. I have a short circuit in my taste buds that are trying to tell me something. Some kind of secret. What kind of secret are they trying to tell me?
Ancient Chinese secrets.
My husband, some hotshot. Here's his ancient Chinese secret.
Da Hong Pao. Oh, good tea. I like drinking tea. Oh, it's so good. Great. So what are we doing? I've got nothing. I got a lot of dirty golf balls, though. Does that count for anything?
Keeping a ball clean is essential in improving play and enjoying a great round of golf.
Oh, I see.
The R&R Products Grand Ball Washer delivers an elegant design while scrubbing the toughest soil from golf balls.
Is there a logo on it?
Let's take a look at the many features that make the Grand Golf Ball Washer an asset on any course. The handsome body design is a clean, logo-free design.
Oh, logo-free.
The unique integrated collar design provides an appealing washer to mounting tube transition.
That is an appealing transition.
The die-cast aluminum body is protected with a durable, hard anodized coating to prevent corrosion.
But what colors?
All ball washers are power coat painted in a rainbow of beautiful colors.
Oh.
The high-performance internal spiral brush provides superior cleaning.
Look at that performance!
The carabiner hook securely holds the towel and helps to prevent theft.
Hate it when they steal my
beaners. A teardrop overflow drain design prevents unsightly residue stains.
Oh, good.
Order your Grand Ball Washer today. Your golfers will appreciate it with every round.
Yeah, it looks like we gotta order ourselves a golf ball washer. And I think you know which one I'm leaning towards. I need to have it logo free. I need to have some kind of drain design that leaves the washer residue free. So if it's a teardrop shape, that's fine. I always require a high performance internal spiral brush and a carabiner for, you know, the prevention of golf towel theft. Yeah, my mind is made up. Somebody come and take my money. But wait a minute. It occurs to me. Just stop. Once I have this golf ball washer, then what? I mean, I guess what I'm trying to ask is, how does one actually wash golf balls? I mean, is this something that I'm going to need to take some college credits for, or should we just ask Conan Elliott? Hey, Conan, how do I wash a golf ball anyway?
Hello, my name is Conan Elliott, and I'm director of instruction here at Camas Meadows Golf Club in Camas, Washington. Today, we're going to talk about how to clean golf balls. The materials we need for this today is a dirty golf ball, towel, a ball washer, and you're off and rolling.
Oh, all right.
See a lot of people literally spit on them, wipe them on their pants or on their towel. Yeah, your wife may not like that, or your mom may not like that too much. So most golf courses do have what we call a par aid at each tee box, which is simply a ball washer. You literally take this dirty ball, just pull up on it. There's a little slot for your ball.
Oh.
Just pump up and down. There's brushes in there with water, and it'll scrub your ball down pretty good.
Oh.
When you come up, it'll pop back out.
Wow.
Pull your ball out. There's a towel there, usually to wipe it off with.
Unless they get stolen.
And it's all nice and clean. This is Conan Elliott, and that's how to clean your golf balls.
Well, thanks, Conan. Oh, yeah. See, usually there's a towel there for you to dry your golf ball off with. But, you know, sometimes they get stolen. And some people think a carabiner is a quick link. Quick links are not carabiners. Carabiners are not quick links. And how anybody thinks a carabiner or a quick link is going to prevent towel theft, it's kind of beyond me. I mean, your professional towel thief is going to know how to defeat your connector to the golf ball washer, regardless if it's a carabiner or if it's a quick link or any other method of connection. Professional golf ball towel thieves are going to get that towel whether you want them to or not. There's no preventing it. So, you know, a lot of people spend a lot of time trying to invent, you know, the better mousetrap or try to invent a new operating system for computers. I don't think that's where the big money is. I mean, anybody with any brains would be figuring out how to attach a towel to a golf ball washer so that it won't be stolen. Yeah, when I see that, then I will recognize genius. Oh, and speaking of genius, we haven't checked in with Boris, our favorite Sashlik King, lately. Does he have any new hardware that I need to be aware of?
This is the Black Switch Swiss Life keyboard. You can actually order it, delivery description. So let's see what we have on resolution 1080p, no problem. Graphics settings low, obviously, understand. Check processor. It's close enough. Memory kickbase check. Graphics, might be a bit of a stretch, but I make up for it with my massive plutonium battery. Hey, Steve is installing.
We always like the plutonium batteries.
This can be a complete glorious success. Or melting worse than Chernobyl. We will see. So we have 4.5 hours to kill. Check out this new Gopnik Tech. Official Swiss Life keyboard. It's a nice strong build. Do not break. I went for the black switches on this one. You can get the blue ones if you want to seriously piss off your neighbor. LED is bright enough to fill the whole house. Just check about the electricity save. And official Swiss Life messenger. Nerek stuff or Boris anymore. Nice. My favorite part. The XL mass made. Even has Artyom on it. And this big bad Boris. It's Spence, the squad prof. No, look, why it is t-shirts here. Shh, the good times have only begun. And of course, it has my name, man. So, Vadim does not steal it again. Hey, it launched! Whoa!
Jeez, I think I need to have that extra large mouse mat. It says Slav King, and it's got Boris sitting on in the front of a Neva, and Artyom is on it, and everybody loves Artyom. Man. How much does that cost? I gotta buy stuff. I don't want to buy stuff. I want to buy parts. Hey, speaking of parts, are those supposed to come today? It's like Sunday. Do they deliver on Sundays? I don't know if they deliver on Sundays or not. When are my breadboard jumpers going to come? Oh, also, I was thinking of something else. Wait, what was I thinking about last night? I don't remember what it was. I was thinking about something last night, and I thought, oh, I gotta turn off the damn reverb? No. Oh, it was something about patch cables. Oh, yeah. I vaguely remember that I was thinking about hooking some other stuff up. I was thinking about my 303. Because I was thinking about MIDI to CV conversion, because I want to keep it all analog and sidechainy, right? And so I thought, well, I could try to hook this up, but then I'd have to get out the other mixer, and then I'm going to need a whole bunch of more patch cables, because this mixer is all quarter-inch patch cables and not 3.5mm patch cables, and I only have 4 of the 3.5s to quarters, and I thought, oh, yeah, I'm going to need a bunch of quarters, and I only have 2. No, I ordered, like, a dozen or 10 quarter-to-quarter patch cables, so I'm good on patch cables. So why am I not doing this? Oh, right, because I still haven't built any kind of MIDI to CV interface, which I don't think is that difficult. I just don't know how to do it off the top of my head. I gotta look into that. I gotta do some research. But every time I start doing research, then I get distracted by stuff. Like this one guy. I don't remember, what was that guy's name? I don't know. But this guy has a nice modular analog synthesizer setup. Well, it's really hybrid, but nobody cares. And he likes to hook up weird things to it to make it go all automatic-y. And he hooks up strange things to it, namely mushrooms. And if you're going to hook a mushroom up to a synthesizer, you are my new hero. He also likes to hook up things like crystals and other wacky stuff. So, I want to hear some of his weirdness right now. Okay, he's got it hooked up to a giant crystal with a lovely terminal point on it of rose quartz. And apparently the rose quartz doesn't feel like playing the synthesizer right now. Oh, there we go. Man. Some great tones. Yeah, this just reminds me that I need to build some sine wave generators, some sine wave oscillators. And you know what else I'm thinking about doing? Somewhere in a box of all the junk of electronic crap that I have, I've got an old 1970s style Radio Shack brand biofeedback monitor. And all it is an oscillator that is hooked up to, well, it's, I have a feeling it's just a 555. And for the frequency capacitor, there's something hooked up to it, and then it's some high capacitance. Whichever way it goes, you hook it up to your fingers, and it measures your own body capacitance. And I thought, okay, that could be a thing we could have. We could have a human capacitance-controlled oscillator. So I gotta find this thing. It makes a really annoying, terrible sound. And you're supposed to use this biofeedback monitor to relax somehow. Yeah, you're supposed to relax to this annoying square wave buzz. And do we really need more of that? I kind of think we don't. What we need is the biofeedback monitor with like a nice sine wave oscillator. Then we can get nice dulcet tones from it, and it won't be annoying. We need something mellow to contrast all this crappy lo-fi noise-making machines that I have. I want something mellow, something a little bit more chill to pad out the background of the noise. We need something, you know, nice and cool in the background. Not, you know, more crappy square wave buzzes. You know, like these. It's not totally square. Is that we do have a lot of fun with these very strange waveforms, and maybe I need to just, here's my problem. I tend to think too big. I suffer from feature creep. I'm the kind of guy who, I don't want to say I can't be satisfied with something, and I can't say that I'm the type of guy who needs to make everything better, but I am that way. You gotta hack. You gotta, if something is good, you can always make it better. You can always add some other cool aspect to it, right? That's my problem. Whenever I think of equipment or music or anything, I'm thinking, okay, I've made this thing. Now, what can I add to this thing to make it cooler? Whether that it's music or if it's a box or if it's, you know, just about anything I do. It's like, And is that a good thing or is that a bad thing? I'm not your basic minimalist. I'm always thinking, you know, maybe we need a full orchestra to add. I think what I need to do in many aspects of my life is try to embrace some type of minimalistic qualities. But why would I do this? Oh, basically so that I don't get frustrated in not having all the right parts and not having enough of this or not enough of that. I don't have enough resources to do what I want, all this cool thing. Right, well, maybe I don't need all this crap. Maybe I just need to keep it small, try to keep it simple, and blah, blah, blah. But I know that if I do this, then I'll hear the end product and go, you know, this is pretty good and all, but, you know, if I could just add a little bit of this or a little bit of that, it would be so much better. Yeah, this happens even when I'm cooking. And now I'm thinking about lunch. What am I going to eat for lunch today? I have a couple of options. I could have some rice. I could have some chicken and rice. I could add some stuff to that. Or I got some pasta. I got some raviolis. I got some of those little raviolis that are so delicious. And maybe I should mix those in with some rotini. I could boil up some rotini and make some sauce and add some basil, because, you know, that sauce would be a little bit better if I just added a little bit of chopped up fresh basil. That would be really good. And then I could throw in some pepperoni. See? It's happening again. I can't just do something simple like, you know, boil some pasta and put some sauce on it. Suddenly a whole bunch of other stuff needs to be added. I suffer from stone soup syndrome. Now, normally, stone soup syndrome can get you pretty far in the world. But if that is your only skill, then everything you have is just going to be overloaded with tons and tons of crap when you might have just been able to get away with two or three things, two or three ingredients. Yeah, that could be a thing. Could that be a thing that I'm worried about? I don't know. This is just the strangeness that is my life. Yeah, and waking up too early in the morning and things like that. And making weird noises with this thing. Got some bass in there now. Yeah. Okay, kill it. It's fun. I like it. I'm going to play with some more of that business today. Yeah, that's for sure. I'm also looking forward to my new breadboard arriving very soon. I'm going to start collecting some parts. Got to get me some chips. Got to dig through some of my chips, see what I want to do. I got photocells. I'm ready to rock. I got phototransistors that I still haven't done anything with. And, that's about it for today. I should probably tell you that you've been listening to the Dubious Goals Committee, episode number 1930 UTC. Tune in tomorrow for more Wacky Tobe shenanigans and maybe some weird noises. And maybe some WWV. Well, I'm out of here. Bye-bye.
This is the end of the line for me. The end of the line, yes.